This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Did you see the kid at the Suns game who just started to get naked when the Suns were playing well the other night?
The first thing I thought of when I saw it was you.
Yep. And for the Super Bowl, naked. Fully naked. Naked. We're trying to get it to sweep the nation. When you are either that upset or that adulated or that thrilled, just get naked.
These clothes are restricting my happiness. I need to take them off.
That's the thought. I need to free myself. I mean, Giants, Cowboys, huge moment. Why wear pants?
This is DCR.
Why wear pants? There's no reason.
On 98.7 ESPN.
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave.
Oh, the big 7 o'clock hour. DCR with you. 800-919-3776. Here's what I think, Rick. I think we should barrage the phone calls in the 7 o'clock hour. Because you got DeGrom on the mound tonight. We'd love to hear from the Mets fan who's excited about that. I'd love to hear from the Nets fan if your opinion changes because he lost that game last night. Mine certainly would not. The Yankees fan, who I would think is despondent after what they saw from the Yanks and Chapman last night. And it's nothing defining where we have to go, kind of a potpourri, but I'd love to hear from the fan at 800-919-3776. Do you think we could barrage the 7 o'clock hour with phone calls?
I'd like to go, what, we got 55 minutes left? Full 55-minute frenzy is what I would like. On a Friday? Especially after what happened last night. I mean, we went from victory Thursday to
loser Friday.
I mean, that's loser, not just losing.
No, it was
losing,
victory Wednesday to loser Thursday.
Yeah, but it was really... No, was it victory?
Oh, you're talking about on the Thursday show? Yes. So victory Thursday to loser Friday, yes.
Yeah, and bad loss, too. Yankees loss was awful.
Awful. I said to start the show, worst loss of the season.
Worst individual loss, how you
worst
did it?
Worst loss of the season? Listen,
it's right there.
Losing to Detroit is more embarrassing. To lose a game that you thought was over is a worse loss than those losses to Detroit.
And Chapman did not look good at all.
Oh, have you ever seen him look that bad?
Look that bad?
He was
first of all,
brutal.
I mean, he is, dude. I'll tell you what. Like, I've told you a couple different times, right? I'd taken batting practice. I was with the Ducks. Like, so I would sit in the bullpen while guys would get warm in the bullpen, and I would stand in the box, right? Like, it's intimidating. Ball's moving over. I couldn't imagine standing in the box with how Chapman looks. Like, just like physically, like he can't, I mean, his arms don't fit.
Absolutely terrified.
Dude, his arms don't even fit in his jersey.
You'd be, and how big is he? 6'5"?
I think, I want to say he's right around, he might even be bigger than that. 6'5" sounds about right.
And he looks terrifying. And he has a neck tattoo, which always adds to the intimidating factor.
And he's sweating.
He's dripping sweat.
Yes.
Like someone's chasing after him, he's sweating. And he's on the mound. He might be, well, DeGrom is also, but he might be just physically the most intimidating pitcher in all of baseball.
I'm trying to think of other pitchers, but I mean, his size.
I mean, Randy Johnson would have probably been that guy for
a
time.
Yeah. But I mean, just like, I mean, he's 6'4", but Randy Johnson didn't look, I'm just saying like physical appearance too. Like, I don't think you see any pitchers that are built like muscle, like his arm, like his biceps are humongous. Humongous. Like, usually that's not a good thing for a pitcher. Is to be that, like, to be that muscle bound. But, dude, I mean, he had his jersey on last night. He was like the ultimate warrior. Like, that thing was screaming around his biceps.
Yeah. So if you step in, now you're not fearful of much, right? You're a professional goalie. You took shots all over the place and have had a million surgeries. Would you be scared stepping into the box against Aroldis Chapman?
There'd be some hesitation, yeah.
Do you remember especially the All-Star game when John Kruk went up against Randy Johnson?
He threw over his head, yeah.
And he threw over his head, and Kruk was like, nah, I'm done.
Yeah, and in that moment, like, no, there's no chance, because you can't react to it. Like, there's no reacting to that. That's the other thing that baseball gets hurt by, is how, and it looks hard now, but how easy they make it look sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, you lose, like, I think even back to 2019 was probably the worst, because guys were, I mean, the home runs were just flying all over the place. It's almost like they made it look too easy, that it's kind of like, it loses something for the fans.
It absolutely does.
Like, sometimes you end up becoming a victim of that if you make things look too easy. Because you don't really have that. You all of a sudden lose that respect for.
Yeah, it's just. And the home run gets watered down. So it's a home. Oh, it's another home run.
Just another one. No big deal.
Not a big deal. Let's hear from Giancarlo Stanton, who hit another home run last night, has the day off today, and sounds like he won't play the field this weekend against Philadelphia, and then they'll play Monday. So you might not see him outside of a pinch hitting role until next Tuesday. But here he is last night on blowing the late lead.
I mean, throughout these long years, you're going to see a lot worse than tonight some nights. But, having the lead most of the game, it is a bit unfortunate. But, we got another one in 2 days, so we'll be all right.
Well, why can't they ever just come out and say?
And by we, I mean the team has one because I can't play them.
I'll watch it, though.
Yeah, I'll be there.
I'll be dressed.
I'll look. There's no one that looks better in a uniform than me. I can tell you that.
That is valid. Over under on at bats for Stanton this weekend. I put it at 2.
2. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be. He's not playing the field, so that's all it could be. I mean, that's all it could be is 2. Yeah, I mean, that's right there. You can't go over. I don't think you can't take the over on that. You're either take. So I would take the under. Because it's probably going to be in a push.
You would say under 2. Couldn't he just like walk into Boone's office and say, I want to play right field?
I don't think he wants to play right field.
Put Judge in. So he could, though. Do you believe if he walked into Boone's office and said, I feel fine, put me in right field, that they would slot him in there?
No, I don't. Because you can't risk it. If they had the choice.
Need to win games.
Dave, if they had the choice to have somebody come off the bench and stand next to him while he hit, and then as soon as he made contact, run the bases for him, they would do that. Tell me there's a Yankee fan that feels right now, with how hot he just got, how quickly he just got this hot, that doesn't think that in a week from now he'll be back on the IL.
Every time he gets an at-bat, I feel the same way with Judge, although it's not as bad. There was a play the other day, there was a pop-up. Judge was running on the pitch. I don't know if you remember this. There was a pop-up. It was caught. He was running. He had to stop.
Had to stop and go back.
Turn around and dart back to first base. And he dove in. And then there was like that second of he got up. He brushed himself off. I'm like, oh, God, he's going to be hurt here, isn't he? He wasn't. But that's my thought with these guys every single time something happens.
Because that's been their history, though. I mean, how they're built, their size. I mean, it's not – when you're as big as those guys are and as muscular as they are, I mean, it's a lot more likely that you're going to get injured. It is. I mean, that's the reality. I think that's part of the problem with professional sports nowadays. Guys are in – I know it sounds crazy to say it, but I think guys
are – Too good a shape.
They don't take any time.
I think you might be right. You want to go Noel or Noel? What do you think is his name? Noel?
Ooh, Staten Island.
Well, I know what it is now.
What do you think?
Well, I think Noel because I was told Noel.
Oh, see, now you cheer. RJ, what is RJ doing? He gives us the answer to the first question. This whole thing today.
Yeah, he's already taking not having his finest week. You know what it is? It's the soccer bachelor party. Really,
it's the bachelor party.
Yeah.
No, listen, I get ripped apart when the names are not
correct.
Something
fishy going on with that bachelor party. There was more than just a soccer game going on. There was more than just soccer balls being kicked around. That fiasco.
I don't like what you're getting at.
You know what I'm insinuating.
What are you getting at?
Oh, you know what I'm getting at.
Oh.
Pele?
There was a little human foosball going on in that hotel room.
RJ, this is not your best week, though. You would admit that you've had better weeks in the past.
Maybe, but I think what I just did now was the right decision to get someone's name correct. I'm not going to stand by as you make a mockery of
Well, if his name is Noel and I said Noel, I don't think that's making a mockery of his name.
If his name is
Steve and I call him Stench, that's a mockery.
From Marinic? Stench from Marinic?
Yes. That's a mockery.
Now, here's the thing, though. I will say this. This is how, like, I will have so much more respect for Noel. Noel
was right.
Okay, yeah, I was right. If he now, when you bring him on, says, even if it is Noel, says that it's Noel.
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Marinic.
That'll always be funny. Always.
Always. All right, now how about this? Or the counter.
But see, you think the counter is funnier than I do just because when you go to a diner and you can sit up by the flat top. What is that called?
The counter?
Counter?
Yeah, the counter.
What do you mean I find it funny and nobody else does? RJ, is that funny?
It's Rick's greatest drop, I think. It's going to be tough to top, too.
When you go up to the flat top, what do they call that thing? And then I'm like, the counter? The counter? Let's go to Noel. In Staten Island. Good morning, Noel.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
We're doing terrific, Noel.
So, yeah, it's Noel. You guys got it right. I'll tell you that about 75% of my teachers growing up definitely called me Noel. So you guys are not in the wrong there. So you guys are good. But I'm calling in because I wanted to see what were your guys' opinion in terms of the whole spider tech situation that's going on now in baseball and kind of how Gerrit Cole kind of became the face of this whole controversy now. Obviously, he's a star pitcher. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. But I'm comparing it to the whole sign-stealing scandal that happened with the Astros and back in 2017. And I think most baseball guys know that they were not the only team that was stealing signs. But they kind of became the face for that controversy.
But I don't think, Noel, I don't think anybody stole signs, and thanks for the phone call. I don't think anybody stole signs to the extent of what the Houston Astros did.
Have you heard some of the stuff? I mean, did you hear Martino on with Kay yesterday?
I didn't hear the whole thing. I heard a few minutes of him.
Did you hear about, I mean, what they were doing with the scoreboard?
No.
That, I mean, this was once they got, I mean, this was after they got caught with the trash cans, is that they noticed during, I think it might have been the Yankee series, or one of the series, that there was like this weird sequencing of lights flashing up on the scoreboard that they thought was related to whatever pitches were coming.
Would you put it past them?
Well, no. So their scouts went up and said something to Major League Baseball, and Major League Baseball went and spoke with someone with Houston, and then all of a sudden the lights stopped.
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right, but that's... I mean,
I don't think there's anything they would not have done to further themselves to try and win baseball games.
Yeah, but again, I mean, in that instance, if you're of the mindset that everybody's doing it, we're just going to find a way to do it better. Like, and they took it too far to a point where now all of a sudden...
Way too far. But in my mind, that's worse than the spider tech stuff.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Last night was the first night, Rick, that I thought you really missed Harden. Because I will say this emphatically. You have Harden, the series is over. It's 3-0, and it probably wasn't close last night.
You got no Harden, no Jeff Green. I couldn't agree with you more. Seriously. I mean, I honestly, just to add some juice to the series, and I said this earlier in the show, was gonna make a bet with you yesterday. I would have taken Milwaukee, given you the Nets. No points, though. Just straight up. You're not gonna finagle me at the points. There was no
I would have finagled.
Happening.
I would have finagled.
And I feel worse about Milwaukee now that they won. Like that, I did not like that. Was the Brooklyn lost that game? They didn't. It was not Milwaukee winning that game. Brooklyn lost it. They shot poorly. I can't see Kevin Durant shooting as badly as he shot yesterday. Or Kyrie, Joe Harris, Joey Buckets was. I mean, he was a non-factor last night. So no, I mean, if they had Harden last night, I mean, to have that luxury where you can have two guys struggle a little bit and just the way that he's been able to. Because, I mean, this is not the same James Harden we saw in Houston, right? Like, this is not a volume
scorer. No, he's a
score.
Facilitator. No, he's much more unselfish, and guys get their chances to score. And listen, you have a third? First of all, you have a third guy that can now do all these things. And secondly, it makes it easier on the other two because the defense isn't focused on them as much.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, everyone gets easier shots because, I mean, everyone's getting, open looks now anyway because you're going to pay so much attention to Kyrie and KD. It just adds a completely, I mean, now you're in spots where you can make it easier on those two guys because James Harden's the one with the ball in his hands.
You think he plays in game four? It sounds like he was closer in game three.
I don't know. It would depend. I mean, what's the chances that he re-injures this thing? Because, I mean, if we're sitting here talking about we don't think that Milwaukee has a chance, I mean, do I risk it? Do I see how game... Maybe
yeah,
I see how
I guess
game
you
four
watch
goes.
How game four goes down, and then if you lose game four. But you know what? Here's the thing. They can lose game four, and I still don't give Milwaukee a chance to come back and win the series.
Dave, we've seen, I mean, you heard Giannis after the game, talking about, we got to get back to, what we were in the regular season as far as scoring points. I mean, they were at the top of the league for points scored a game. I think they might have been the best in the NBA, points scored per game. And we've seen Brooklyn score. We know how deadly Brooklyn is offensively. We've seen it over the first two games of the series. I mean, at one point in game two, they had a 49-point lead, right? Like, we've seen it. Milwaukee wins a game. This is back-to-back games. They've scored 86 points.
I know. It's really incredible. In this era of the NBA, you're putting up back-to-back games of 86 points. Now, Giannis takes the other route. He says, you know, we wish we scored more, sure, but a win is still a win. Here he is.
It was a very low-scoring game, possession by possession. You had to get stops to win this game. You had to knock down big shots to win this game. And at the end of the day, when you play a basketball game and you win the game, you enjoy it. But I think we can play better. We can play better, play faster, we play more together, we can move the ball better, so we can get back to our scoring 110, 120 points like we usually do. But at the end of the day, if we can win a game by scoring 104, 84, 86, I'll take it.
He thinks they can play better. They were horrendous last night.
No, I mean, outside of him and Chris Middleton, I mean they scored 78% of the points.
The
right?
rest like of that- the team scored 18 points.
Yeah, and I don't see. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I don't. Especially down the stretch, I don't think Chris Middleton can give you better than what he was.
That was as
yesterday.
Good as he can be.
That's as good as he can be.
As good as he can be.
I mean, Giannis is. I mean, he still gave you 33. I mean, his free throw shooting is a joke. I mean, it's horrendous. But I mean, Tucker gave you nothing.
Nothing. Good defense, literally
no
nothing.
Points. Drew Holiday was just okay. I mean,
have you ever seen stats like
all.
This from a starter? 32 minutes. Now, granted, he played Durant, who got the best of him for the most part anyway. 32 minutes, 0 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists, and he was a plus 10. Have you ever seen anything like that before?
Not very often, no. Right? But I mean, you know why he's there, though. He's there for his defense.
That was the goal. But you would figure you would walk into some rebounds or some points, no?
I mean, how many people were just walking into points last night? I mean,
he had one more rebound and point than I did last night.
Yeah, but you're a better athlete, I think, than he is. I've seen
I don't know about that.
But think about this, too. I mean, Giannis had 33, and Chris Middleton had the 35, but each of those guys scored 15 points in the first quarter, each. Like, the Nets got off to an awful, horrendous start to that game last night.
To get it to that start, be on the road, not have one of your top players, and come back from a 20-point deficit... I don't know. I wonder what Milwaukee sports talk sounds like today. If they're taking calls of like, we're back in the series, we cut it in half, Harden might not play in game four, we have another home game, you know what, we're back in the series. Because realistically, if that's the tack they're taking, I think it's just awful. Because they are not back in anything right now.
No, you can't. I don't care how much of a Milwaukee home you are, you can't feel great about this.
No, but you don't think that there are a lot of people in Milwaukee saying, you know, we won the series, we won the game, we're back, we'll win game four, and all of a sudden it's a 2-2 series.
No, you're back. I mean, you're back. Like it's now officially a series. I don't know how competitive the series is going to be. Like I don't know how much better. Like I don't think Chris Middleton can play better. I think Giannis could probably be a little bit better.
Yeah, but Holiday could play better, and Lopez can play better. I think
could be a little bit better, but I know for a fact
they got 6 points off their bench last
yeah,
night.
But here's the thing, though: I know for a fact KD can shoot way better, and Kyrie can be way better, and Joe Harris can be way better, and Blake Griffin can be better. Like that Brooklyn team was not. They did not play well. They did not shoot well. I give them credit for getting themselves back.
They
in the
played well defensively, and they fought. I'll give him credit.
And they
fought.
And they probably, I mean, let's be honest. If Joe Harris makes that open look, that mid-range jumper that was an open look, and he puts them up three in that moment, they probably end up winning
the game. I thought that when Durant hit the shot and they went up 83-80, I thought the game was over. I thought they were, I absolutely, unequivocally thought they were going to win that game. I give Milwaukee credit for scoring a couple baskets down the stretch, but you're right. I mean, the Nets had so many opportunities to finish that game off. And then to go to Brown on the last most important shots was really puzzling, to say the least.
Yeah, it was floater after floater after floater that just kept missing and missing and missing. Yeah, he as good as he was in the first half, and he was great in the first half, then he works his... It's tough to get mad at him, though, because like he does all the little things really well. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's the defense he plays, he's, you know, forcing jump balls and rebounding and everything he does. But, I mean, that's, and Steve Nash kind of said it after the game, too. Like, in a perfect world, do we want Bruce Brown as good as he is for us, taking a, you know, that last, no, we don't.
No.
But never. The whole play was foobarred from the beginning.
Well, they should have called a timeout.
Well, first of all, I mean, it's a bad inbound pass. It maybe, you know, Bruce Brown could have, I don't know, I didn't think he did a great job of trying to corral the pass, and then Kyrie does a good job, it ends up in Bruce Brown's hand, and he's probably, I would imagine, thinking to himself, okay, I'm one-on-one with Brook Lopez. There's no chance he's going to keep up with me to disrupt my shot once I get to the rim, which he did. And then I even thought that Bruce Brown, the screen he said at the end of the game to try to free up Durant was awful.
Yeah, it wasn't a good screen. Let's go to Mike in North Bergen. Good morning, Mike. You're on 98.7.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
We're doing well, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You know, kind of bothered, you know, by some of the comments about the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm no Milwaukee Bucks fan, I'll tell you that much. But hey, they took game three. And guess what? They're going to take game four at home as well. I understand that hot start that they had, and with the Nets coming back, you didn't see the Heat come back in that series last series against the Bucks when they exploded right in the first and second quarter. They put Miami away. So the Nets did a good job responding. However, this kind of tells you what this series is going to play out like.
No, it doesn't. It tells you nothing. It tells you nothing, Mike.
You were impressed and gained confidence in Milwaukee from their performance last night moving forward in this series?
It's a game of runs, fellas. I mean, this is basketball. This is playoff basketball. We saw
a game of runs. It was 86-83. What a game of runs.
It's a horrendous basketball game, Mike. Was almost unwatchable. If that game is in November, I would not have watched the entirety of it. I wouldn't.
No, if that game didn't have come on, you still would have watched. If that game didn't have Giannis,
I would not. I would not.
You're not watching Giannis, KD, Kyrie?
I would have gone to bed. I swear to God. If that game was not for that, for postseason, to keep the season alive, to see what the Nets can do, can they sweep away Milwaukee, I would have watched the highlights in the morning. I would not have stayed up for it. It was a bad game.
I like to nap.
There's nothing wrong with the nap.
That's another. I wish I knew. I wish I could take naps.
I like to nap.
I don't see it the way he saw it. I mean, he's entitled to his opinion, and I appreciate the call, but I don't.
I think he's completely off base.
I didn't take that same thing out of last night's
completely off base.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
A little bit disappointed with you, to be honest.
Well, what did I do now?
Well, I mean, you didn't do anything terrible, but, I mean, Barry Trotz joins the K-Show.
How is that my fault? I don't understand how that... what would you expect at this point? They gave you the hockey show.
I would expect you to reach out to the Islanders and say, we would like Trotz on this show.
Here's what I can't wait for. When the Islanders... I'm not touching any money, but we'll see what happens with this series. When they reach out to you, since you decided you wanted to do the hockey show, and they let you know, hey, you know that vacation that you planned?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're going to need you. We're going to need you back on the air. Sorry about that.
You think that's good? Where would you bet on that?
I'm heavily with the chances that's happening.
You think so, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Now, if you agree to it or not, I don't know. I can't say one way or the other, but that's coming. That's coming down the pipe.
You know who we're working on, I'm told, by the way? We're going, they can have Trotz.
No, we want Lou. Give me Lou.
We're going after Lou on this show.
See, that's right. You get the architect of it. That's who we want. I told you I had Lou speak to my team, right?
I remember you wanted him. How great? I vaguely remember that he spoke to the team. Was it phenomenal,
dude? It was. You should have seen the kids' faces. Like they couldn't believe it. He came in and he gave this awesome speech and how what it means to be a team and knowing
fight
your
for
role.
Those inches.
Well, dude, no, but he even pulled out this. I guess he used to use this all the time. Is he'd have a pocket full of matchsticks. And he's like, so you take the one matchstick out, and you see how easy it is to break one matchstick. And then he took two out, see how easy it is to break two matchsticks, and then three. But by the time you got to five matchsticks, and then six matchsticks, you can't break them. So that's what it means. You got six guys working on the ice together. That's what being a team is about. And I was like,
he brought props in.
No, he didn't. Like, he told the story. He didn't actually have the props.
Oh, I was the one that brought the handed out matches to all the kids. Cigarettes and matches and cigars and that kind
smoke
of.
Smoke them if you have them. Yeah, so after you guys went and have the cig.
That'd be great.
No, I was the one that was the game I brought the door, remember? I had Stevie go to Lowe's and get the door that I kicked through.
Yes.
Yeah, that was interesting.
So Trotz on the K-Show. By the way, did you hear Don destroy Michael for his shirt yesterday?
And you say I'm a bag and I'm tough on you. This was...
Oh, that was... If you didn't hear this, Michael was wearing a, I'll say, questionable shirt on the air yesterday. And Don savagely went after him. Take a listen to this.
This is the worst shirt that I've ever seen anybody ever wear. No, this is no. I would take it off. You're embarrassing yourself and your brand. I mean, if you dressed like Bozo, you'd be closer to dressed for a wedding than that shirt. If it's on fire, Michael, it would do a disservice to the air because the fumes of the shirt would get into the atmosphere. It is the worst thing I've ever seen. Period.
Michael, you've offended Don.
You know, I would take it from somebody who actually is a good dresser. Don throws anything on.
No,
a black shirt
throw
on
anything
today.
On. You threw that on.
You know what? I bought this shirt and chose it, and I think it's a great summer shirt.
It is.
You're out of your mind.
God awful.
It is not. Tremendous.
Seriously.
I'll send it out. I'm going to
Marco
take a picture.
Could design a better shirt than that.
Now we all know this bizarre love affair that you have with Michael. I want your honest assessment of the shirt that he wore yesterday during the show.
I went online yesterday and ordered one as a show of solidarity.
You are pathetic. Honestly, you are pathetic.
I'm not going to let you break us apart. I'm not going
to
do it.
I'm not trying to break you apart. Why? See, this is why your relationship with him is completely fugazi, because you can't be honest to him.
I wasn't as offended with the shirt as Don was.
You don't have to think it was the worst shirt you've ever seen. Did you like the shirt? Would you ever wear that shirt? Would you ever say, you know what? Let me A, buy it, and B, wear that shirt.
If he asked me to, I would.
Oh, come on. Why can't put your feet on the floor and act like a man?
You haven't even seen me wear a shirt. I haven't worn a shirt in how many months on this Zoom call?
All you do is wear this strapless like t-shirt. It's really... It's unbelievable what you wear. But you're burying the lead here. The fact that you sit here and again just worship at the feet of Michael Kay. Why can't you find fault with anything he does?
It's love and admiration. It's not worship.
Pathetic.
It's love and admiration. Love him. We're like, me and Kay are like the six matchsticks. You can't break us apart. You're not going to break us. It's not going to happen. That's how strong this love is.
Yeah, but you know what? Honestly, at this point, he should look and realize that he can do no wrong with you. It's not a legitimate relationship. It's not. If you really respected him and cared for him, you'd tell him the truth. I love you. I saw that photo of you on KJZ yesterday, and I told you, you look like a young Charles Manson. It was a horrendous picture of you, because I'm honest, and you will not say anything negative about Michael.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing, though. If he had called me up and asked me, should I wear this shirt?
You would say?
Would I have told him, yeah, probably, you know, this would be something that I would avoid.
So why can't you just say respectfully, Michael, I didn't like the shirt.
Because I can't do that. Because once he makes that decision, now this goes into I'm defending him.
But that's why it's not legitimate. That's why
whatever this
relationship is not legitimate with Michael.
No, see, you're wrong here. You're wrong. I'm a foxhole guy. This is me and him in the foxhole, and I'm going to defend him until the end.
But you don't
That's
do that for
works.
Don. You wouldn't do it for Peter. You don't do it for Chris. You certainly don't do it for me. But Michael's the guy that you put on this pedestal, and whatever it is, here you are defending.
Well, you've already crossed the line. That's the thing. That's what you don't understand. I tried to be like that way with you, but from the day I met you, you were nasty.
Nasty?
First day I met you, nasty about the Islanders, my career. You went right after the career.
Yeah, that wasn't
you didn't
nice.
Even, it wasn't nice at all. You crossed the line, and now that this, I'm like Aaron Rodgers. You know, once you we lose that trust. There's no getting back to that. I can't help it. Listen, you made your bed. Now you got to sleep in it.
All right, well, I'm fine with that. But I expect better from you.
Hold on, but you're burying the other lead here. I mean, this is the missing piece.
There's many leads. Go ahead.
Yeah. So you heard Peter on that clip. I'll give you a couple of choices. Get to know your co-host. Was Peter A, in studio?
No, I know where
B, at his apartment studio, or C, in Jamaica?
It really is unbelievable.
It's amazing.
Now you say that I might be asked to host shows if the Islanders go to the Stanley Cup Finals. You know what? I think there's a chance that could happen as I'm in Lake Placid.
Oh, no, that's happening. He's calling. He'll find out what hotel you're staying at right now. He will call and make sure they have Wi-Fi so you can hook up.
All right, I'll do that.
And then he'll hashtag TTS.
Trust the speakers, baby.
Trust the speakers, thank you.
That's right. Listen, it won't be considered vacation then, and then I'll get an extra week of vacation and I'll take over the next couple months.
Trust the speakers!
I'll do that.
That's happening. You know it. I know it. Everyone at the station knows it. RJ knows it, although he's had an awful week. I mean, maybe he needs a vacation.
Not as, I mean, he's given misinformation. He took the day off on Monday. He messed up the getting to know your co-host today. What do you say for yourself, RJ, about what happened with the show today?
I look forward to your shows from Lake Placid.
Maybe I'll do them out on a canoe.
No, you should do them. What you should do them is right, live from the 1980s rink. 1980 rink?
Like, just put yourself in, we're talking hockey. 4 o'clock in the morning.
No, they will.
All right.
I got people up there.
All right, then I will do it. If the Islanders are in the Stanley Cup Finals, which, if there's a God in heaven, does not happen. But if, in fact, they are, and the station wants me to host, and you can pull strings and let me do it from the Herb Brooks Arena, I will do it.
What you just did was a humongous mistake.
Why?
Yeah, it's a huge mistake.
I will do it.
Because you've just solidified it.
Because I'm committed. I'm committed to the show.
So everyone listening, make sure you're rooting. I mean, there's two teams to be rooting for right now. Utah Jazz, obviously, naked video. And if you're not rooting for the Islanders right now, I don't know what you're doing. You just get an extra. You love Dave, root for the Islanders. Extra week of Dave on the radio.
That's right. I will work that week. All right, let's go to O in Brooklyn. O, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call.
You got it, bud.
I just got one quick question. I want to know how we're going to judge these guys who get caught with the sticky stuff. Are we going to say they're cheaters? Are we going to say they're sportsmanship? Are we going to try to chase them out of baseball? Are we going to keep them out of the Hall of Fame? Or are we just going to say, oh, it's no big deal, and move on? And I want to know this before anybody gets caught, before my favorite player gets caught, before your favorite player gets caught, before the guy you hate gets caught. How are we going to judge these guys?
It's a great question, and you know what will happen. If your favorite guy gets, like if Jacob DeGrom, God forbid, got caught with this, Rick, all of a sudden we would be defensive. If Gerrit Cole got caught, we might go on the offensive. So I think he's right. I think we need to judge it right now, and how will we look at this moving forward when guys eventually in the coming weeks do get caught with the sticky stuff?
I think it's the line of demarcation starts right now. It's as soon as they decide that they're going to start enforcing it, that's when you make the decision. It's everything that happened up to this point, I don't consider them cheating. But if now it's been outlawed and they're going to be checking and everything else, you get caught, now you've crossed that line.
But what happens if really good pitchers are not really good? Like, what happens if, and I'm not even bringing Gerrit Cole into the conversation, a 9 pitcher out of 10 becomes a 7.5. An 8 pitcher out of 10 becomes a 7. Like, what happens if those guys all take a dip down? How much do you look at the success they had prior and say it's because of what they were doing?
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, if it's true that, you know, between 80 and 90% of the guys in baseball are using it and it has that kind of effect on their stuff, then I mean, that's going to happen to a majority of the league. Right?
Yeah, I think so, but that's a bad look for the league.
No, of course. See, but that's another thing, Dave. You got a sport that is desperate to have stars and create stars like the NBA does and like the NFL does. In every single one of these scandals, the steroid scandal, the cheating scandal, now this sticky stuff scandal, it's always the faces of their sport that get caught doing it, that they out. Barry Bonds, best player in baseball. Roger Clemens, best pitcher in baseball.
Yep.
The Houston Astros, World Series champions.
That's right.
Gerrit Cole,
right? I mean, two of the elite pitchers in baseball. I can't believe he wasn't better prepared for what went on the other day. But the fact that he got attacked and he is now the face of what we've heard 80 to 90% of the pitchers, in fact, are doing is just, it's another black eye on the sport of baseball.
The NBA would never do this. NBA, I guarantee, would never.
They would defend their guys. Well, don't you feel like it's more of a partnership with the NBA and more of a two differing sides in Major League Baseball?
But that's in all sports besides the NBA. Those kind of, like, we talk about guaranteed contracts in baseball. Yeah, baseball has, I mean, guys make a ton of money. Well, but the NBA, I mean, that's the LeBron James, like the power that those NBA stars wield is so much different than any other sport. And I don't even think it's close.
It's not. But I feel like baseball is the biggest division of any of the sports.
Well, because I think part of that is that the baseball union has been so strong for so long, and the owners have hated every second of it, until all of a sudden, last collective bargaining agreement, the owners got over on the players, and now they see...
There's a massive distrust.
No, but there's a massive distrust, but they see, like, there's blood in the water for them. Like, and now they're looking to jump all over them and take advantage of them, especially because they lost all that money with the pandemic.
And I got to tell you, if they somehow have a lockout or the players won't play for next season,
It's a huge mistake. I've been a part of that. Huge mistake.
Yeah, but you were never a part of it after a pandemic. You were never a part of it as your sport was hemorrhaging and people were jumping ship. Like this,
but the NHL was always struggling though with that stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
It wasn't like we never had.
But it's
the popularity.
Not like you were a 10 and then you were a 7 and now that happened. You were always at a low level, and in fact have gotten much better since then. But it was always at a low level, so you didn't really hurt anything. This would, I mean, baseball is careening right now.
Yeah, no, it is. But again, I mean, it has not. Like the owners are concerned about themselves, the new CBA, how much money they're going to make. I mean, they want to take full advantage of the players. And this only helps their cause. I mean, they're right now we're in the middle of it. Players snitching on each other, going back and forth, hitters against pitchers. I mean, it's terrible. And it's a bad look because all the best players, I mean, you're trying to, what every sport should want is have stars that people love, people hate, whatever it ends up being, but you're drawn to the stars of the game. And it seems like all these scandals always indict this league's best players.
Which is really incredible. And they never deflect it. They never get in the way. You think LeBron, you think that Peyton Manning would ever be left out to dry in their sport?
No,
like,
those
like Cole
sports,
was the other day?
Dude, there's those sports, those leagues, the people around those players, they're protecting those
well, that's
guys.
That's what you should do. That's your investment into the sport, into the game. Let's go to Jim in Madison. Good morning, Jim. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, morning, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Rick, I love you, but there is honestly no defending that shirt that Michael Kay was wearing. I mean, it's like the bowling shirt from hell. I mean, if bowling shirts wore bowling shirts, it would be that one. And there's, you know, there's just no defending it. But I mean, it's, you know, a perfect example. The Rick of fans strikes again. You know?
Here's the thing, though, Jim. Can you marry Jim?
I like that. I like the Rick of fans. I think that's a great line, by the way.
That is a really good line. I might put that on a T-shirt. Jim, are you married?
I am not married.
Okay, do you have a significant other that you love and adore and respect? So if that significant other was wearing something that you necessarily, I mean, listen, she didn't consult with you or he didn't consult with you when you went out. And then all of a sudden you're at dinner with whoever you're with and they start attacking your loved one. Do you jump on board or do you stick up for your loved one?
See, it's in my eye, it wouldn't even have gotten that far because I probably wouldn't allow her to go out.
Yeah, but I didn't get that opportunity, though, Jim. I was not given that opportunity, and I already said that. Had he consulted with me first, I would have said, you know what, that probably wouldn't be something that I would wear. Let's maybe skip that one. But I wasn't given that chance, so now I got to defend him.
You have to play it. Thanks for the call, Jim, and it's a great point. It's a great line, by the way. The Rickafant is a phenomenal line.
No, that's some of the best work we've done so far. That's going to stick for sure.
But the fact that you would say, well, it's not something I would wear. If I showed you that shirt and I said, I'm going to wear this on national television, you would have said, you look like a fool. Take it off and don't ever wear it again. You would have attacked me, but
no,
because
no, no.
You have
false,
this,
false. I would have attacked you
this,
later.
I don't understand. What does he have a mind meld on you? Like, what is exactly goes on with the two of you guys?
I just told you. And by the way, I mean, there have been plenty of times too where I don't say anything in the moment, but then I'll tell you, like, just between me and you, like dressing up like you're in Assassin's Creed, like probably not a great look. Like, let's avoid that. And you dress much better now.
No, you don't. No. How about when we were doing that commercial last year and I was wearing the shirt because I had lost all the weight that was so big on me? And I like, the second I walk in, you're like, what, are you out of your mind? That shirt looks ridiculous. Get that shirt off. John Winthrop, our assistant program director, go into the back office, find him a shirt that fits. This is an embarrassment. And Mike, you're like, oh, Michael, I don't know.
Yeah, but did. Oh, but here's the thing, though.
But
here, because I was protecting you. I protected you because I didn't want you to put yourself out there to be ridiculed by other people that you don't know.
Fair enough. But how about, you know, Dave, do me a favor. It's not a great look. The shirt is swimming on you because you've lost so much weight. Why don't you get something that fits you a little bit better?
That doesn't get through to you.
What do you mean it doesn't get through to me?
That doesn't get through to you.
You look ridiculous.
No. I heard how Sherry texted you the other day. I got to be forceful with you.
So you treat everyone differently.
Yes, that's a good coach motivator. Yes.
Where Michael Kay, kid gloves. Me, very aggressive.
I have to.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly what I have to do. What I'm trying to do is I can't fully, like, I'm not whipping a thoroughbred, right? Like, Kay's the thoroughbred. Like, I'm going to gently grab the harness, you know, grab the reins and pull him back a little bit. I mean, mules like you, I got to whip the hell out of you.
Oh, so I see. So you look at Michael as someone that needs to be handled delicately. He's the secretariat of your life.
Yeah, I mean, he's a beautiful
And I'm like 2 days away from being turned into glue, is what you're saying.
No, not glue. Yeah.
That's
no,
what you're
you
saying?
Passed it. Yeah, we ain't breeding you. I mean, there's no stud fee for you.
I should have had a third kid, by the way. What a big mistake.
Well, yeah, no, but now you get stuck with two puppies. Congratulations.
I'd trade those two puppies in for a third kid right now.
No, having a baby at home, nothing better. Getting a chance to see his smiling face, teaching him how to play catch, it's the best.
Should have had the best kid. That was a big mistake. All right, Santy, I won't get a star.
What do you mean already, Santy? There's 4 minutes left in the show. How much time we give him for three stars?
If I give him 2.5, he go, you didn't leave me much time. You didn't give me enough time. I like to expound on my points. Right now, it's rule 76. No, it's not. It's three stars.
Dave, I think I've uncovered the secret to why Jacob DeGrom is the best in the sport.
When you don't have enough time, Raymond, by the way, it's not my fault.
No, just quick. I didn't realize this because I don't think we know a lot about Jacob DeGrom. Fast food fanatic. Loves it.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Does he have a restaurant in particular that he really likes?
So back in 2018, New York Times, favorite meal, Big Mac, large fries, large Mountain Dew, and two double cheeseburgers on the side.
Oh, I got to tell you, I loved him prior to that. I love him more right now.
See? A little nugget for
that,
you before we get to three
that
stars.
That is a beautiful nugget. Now, before Santiago yells at me and says, you didn't give me enough time, Santiago, the floor is yours.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
And for the record, 3 minutes is plenty, I think.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that before. That's not the first time someone said that about you.
Walked right into that one.
You could do 6 stars in 3 minutes. You do it twice.
Number three is going to be in a follow-up to yesterday, Sherry Rothenberg, who is, again, the MVP, not only because she keeps Dave in line, but also the little nugget that we got earlier that she's more than willing to fix Rick's Twitter profile. And has that been done yet, Rick? Has that been arranged?
No, not yet. We're in discussions right now.
By Monday morning, that can be done. That'll be done.
We should have a new and improved Rick.
Yeah, I text her on the burner phone that I sent her.
Nice. Yeah, very cute. Adorable.
Number two.
I mean, I was going to pick one specific thing, but I just think like clothes in general, because we started with the son's kid who just started stripping, and then at first I was questioning, does Dave have an illegitimate child out in Phoenix because he acts like him, you know, with all the nakedness?
Why wear pants? There's no reason. Just get naked.
And then you bring in the Michael K shirt situation and the nonsense that we just experienced right now. And Rick, who loves K so much that he won't tell him that the shirt looks hideous. And listen, I love Michael K. I think Michael K is awesome.
Not as much as me, though.
Not as much as you.
I think that's true. I think Jody can be listening right now and saying, I love Michael K, but not as much as Rick.
But there's things she can provide that I can't.
It is not the best wardrobe he's ever worn on the simulcast of his number one rated show, you know? So...
Could we somehow get a logo for Dave, like some kind of lurking logo, so I can make, like, we got Nike with the swoosh, just do it. If I could get, this would be a perfect t-shirt.
Just lurk it?
No, with the naked, with that line you just had with the naked, with the pants thing.
Let's reach out to Graphics Joker. I'm sure you can come up with
something.
By
the way, the number two star was clothing?
Yeah, clothing in general.
Yeah, right. This whole thing, and he needed 3 minutes for that?
Yeah, number one.
He hasn't given number one yet. Go ahead.
And number one's going to go to my guy, RJ, because you guys keep attacking him, so I think he did a great job.
And I'm bad with K. And I'm bad with K.
You really are repulsive. I mean, RJ has had a horrendous week. He's one of the best in the business.
It's not his fault.
You are going to give him the number one star. You know what he just gave you, RJ? That was a pity star. I hope you have a great weekend now. He just gave you a pity star.
It's not his fault that you can't follow simple directions.
You should be ashamed of yourself giving the poor guy a pity star.
It's an embarrassment.
I felt great about it. Soccer bachelor party, and this is the way you treat him.
You're just
Evan Millar, former Red Sox legend on KJZ right in the start of the 8 o'clock hour, getting to what's going on in the world of baseball. We're back on Monday. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play a champion. It's DPHO, Canty Rothenberg, and
everybody
on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHO, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DPHO, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.